Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. June 3rd, Saturday, June 3rd, 2023. And I am sitting here in my office at Wondrous Roots, getting ready to talk to you about the really riveting subject of sulfur. No, don't turn off. Don't turn me off. I think you'll be interested. I've talked about it before, as many of you know, but it is one of these critical nutrients that's missing. Currently doing this series, Why Are We So Sick? And missing nutrients is the first part of that. We've talked about lithium. We've talked about iodine a couple of times. And I just want to say on the iodine second program, I have this new microphone and it's got this nifty little button. If I want to clear my throat, I can just like tap the button. But the thing is, you have to tap it again if you want to unmute. And so I went muted for about 10 minutes. My husband tried to let me know. Other people tried to let me know, but I wasn't paying any attention. Just talking. So I apologize for that. I was going to go back and re-record it. And, you know, there's just no going back. You got to move on to the next thing. So anyway, you can still get the podcast. But if you listen and and I go dead, just go about your business, do something and wait. I do come back. And I thought that was really an important program. So you can catch my former podcast and blogcast, I guess I should say, Blog Talk Radio. And the newsletters to go with them, if you go to wondroustruths.org, my website, go to radio. At the top, you'll see things come down by year and everything. It's in the most recent ones, top ones. You can find that one is in the most recent one, so you can find that. Anyway, I should introduce myself for those of you who might be listening and are unfamiliar with me, and just to let everybody know who I am and what I do. My name is Rebecca Montrone. We have a business here in Keene, New Hampshire, called Wondrous Roots. I am an holistic health practitioner and nutritionist with a degree in holistic nutrition. I see people in private consultation for all kinds of health problems, and I mean all kinds, whether it is we want to stay well in all ages, we want to stay well, we want to prevent disease, or it can be a very advanced disease, such as cancer or neurodegenerative conditions, anything. I tackle absolutely anything and do my best with it. Usually, I would say always I can help to some degree, because I just really make that my passion. And what I don't know, I really hit the books to try to learn, to help out everybody in the best way I possibly can. And it's a very, very rewarding job that I have. It is really wonderful to know that you're making a difference. You're making a difference for people. You're not the be-all and end-all. I'm not the answer for anybody, but I can offer my two cents, and sometimes that can just be really valuable. So anyway, I do see clients in private consultation. You can call to arrange that if you want to, or just learn more about it at 603-439-2603. That's here at our shop and office on Roxbury Street in Keene, New Hampshire. And our normal open door business hours are 9:30 to 5, Monday through Friday. I do see people as needed, if needed, outside those hours, based on, you know, your schedule, work or whatever. So, but our doors are open for you to pop up, see what we're all about, look at our products. And we have a lot of exciting things going on. We just started a new medicinal tea line. And I have, over the holiday weekend, I was able to finalize my top 10 formulas for those teas, order up all my plant material. We have everything ready to go. I'm just waiting for all the plant material to come in and then mix them and then put them up there on my website and make them available to you. Teas are a great way to go as an herbalist. It's just something I've never done. We have over 150, well, we have over 200 single herb extracts. So think of tinctures, right? So we have over 250 of those that I have mixed and formulated into over 150 formulas. But I've never worked with the teas before. And there are advantages to teas. Sometimes there are certain herbs that, or, you know, when I say herbs, I mean all of it, the plants, the seeds, the roots. But herbs really refers to the aerial parts, the leaves and the flowers. But anyway, most people think of herbal medicine as all of that. But anyway, some of the plants better, absorbed into a tea form because of the water-soluble constituents. And so we cover that in our extracts because the water part of our solvent, or in herbal language, menstruum, is part water and part alcohol. Alcohol for the fat-soluble constituents, water for the water-soluble constituents. But certain plants do better with the water, especially those containing that you're relying on for the mineral part of that. So anyway, all I want to say is this has prompted me to be working more with a wider range of herbs, different herbs in the teas that I might use for the same problem in a tincture, in a liquid tincture, for example. So I'm super excited about it. And anyway, that's coming. Watch for that. I'll announce it, of course, here, and I'll announce it in my newsletter. So we are, finish my intro here. We are located on Roxbury Street, the third floor, the Miller Forge building in Keene, New Hampshire. I also work with very, very many clients across the country. I have clients in Canada, and I will never meet in person. So Zoom or phone is perfectly fine as well. I have my window open. You might be hearing a little motorcycle action out there, but I don't want to close my window. So apologize if that gets in the way. They go fast and loud, and then they go by fast. All right, so what else do I want to say? Oh, you are listening to Wondrous Roots, Your Health from the Ground Up, on Blog Talk Radio. So many of you have been listening to me for years, and I so appreciate that, on WKBKRadio.com through Monadnock Broadcasting Group here in New Hampshire. I let that contract go in February of this year. I think I did maybe a program in March and switch over to this platform. My only regret about that, I really love doing it this way, is my listeners who are radio buffs and don't go to their computer or phone to do something like this. So I apologize for that, but I'm trying to make it help those people, show them how easy it is. And especially since you don't have to listen live, right? You can get this program anytime after it's been done. And you can access it through Blog Talk Radio, which is really great. When you're there on the site, as you're listening to this, you can follow me and you can sign up for notification from Blog Talk Radio when I'm going to be doing something. And you can, and then I put it in my newsletters as well, which usually come out like in a squeak right before the program on Saturday morning. So I think that's about it. If you have any comments or questions, this is a talk radio program, and don't be shy about doing that. The number here for you to call is 563-999-3478. Again, 563 888-999-3478. And you might have a question or something to offer in with regard to health and everything we talk about here that has nothing to do with sulfur. And it doesn't matter. Just go ahead and do that. I'm getting older and wiser here. Well, everybody's getting older and I'm getting older, but I'm older than I was the last time I did this, but I'm a little wiser too when it comes to making sure I can see everything that's going on. So the last time, which wasn't last weekend, but the weekend before when I muted myself, people were trying to email me, but I couldn't see my email. So now it's in a separate window. And now the calls are in a separate window. And now my newsletter that I'm going to be working off of today is also in a separate window. So without further ado, off we go. So talked about, you know, I say here, so far in my current series, why are we so sick? We've taken a look at two nutrient deficiencies affecting our population today. And there are several. That's why this part of the series has taken some time. Lithium, a trace mineral critically important to health, especially brain and mental health. Brain, and when I say brain, I also mean brain Alzheimer's prevention, brain tissue prevention, neurodegenerative disease preventive. And we are unable to use the vitamins B12 and folate without it. And that's really critical. People are out there supplementing with their B vitamins, right? But can you use them? Lithium, trace mineral, not to be confused with lithium carbonate in high dose prescription form for people with bipolar disorder. Lithium is lithium is lithium. So let's get that straight, right? Lithium is lithium. And there are different forms of lithium, but lithium is what's in lithium batteries, okay? So I'm not recommending anybody, you know, chew on batteries any more than I am recommending somebody go on prescription high dose lithium carbonate. Lithium orotate is a trace mineral. Think of zinc, think of selenium, think of molybdenum. So don't be confused. And it's normally present. If our world was as it should, if our earth was as it should be, we would be getting lithium from our water supply, largely from our water supply, because as a mineral, it comes off rock. And we get that lithium that way, but we aren't getting it. This is the thing. We're not in the Garden of Eden. I say that all the time. We have to understand we are under attack. Our bodies as organisms are under constant attack from toxins of all kinds, and they just get more and more and more. Now we're dealing with more and more with the EMS. More we have for a long time, but that's getting heavier. Our pollutants are getting heavier in pesticides. They're going to things that make glyphosate look like a saint out there on our crops. And so we've got bromine. I talked about that in the whole part on iodine. Bromine in flame retardants, in clothing, in children's pajamas, in furniture, in lawn pesticides, all over the place, displacing iodine and toxic. So we have to do something. If we just say, hey, I get all the nutrients I need in food, well, it should be that way. It really should be that way if providing the food is good food, balanced good food diet, which is lacking in a lot of people today in the first place. But if that were the case, sure, that's how it should be. But it isn't. And so what do? We take advantage of using things in therapeutic, nutrients in therapeutic forms and therapeutic doses to thwart the enemy, which is our present environment, and to win. So anyway, then it says, I said iodine, absolutely essential to health. I won't belabor that point right now. We spent two programs on this. We must make sure our intake is sufficient on a daily basis if we want to be healthy. And I mean everyone. It's not like, well, I can be healthy without iodine. No, you really can't. I hate to tell you, you really can't. So got to pay attention to that. And okay, if you missed either of those newsletters, there you can go there on my newsletter, blah, 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 blah. Today I'm talking about sensational sulfur and without which our health is crippled in many ways. Are you getting your sulfur on a daily basis? And so super, super important. And I've talked about it before, but I'm going to talk about it again because I have to in this series and I want to. And so here we go. Again, if you want to call in and talk with me, please feel free, 563-999-3478. Oh, and one more thing. If you want to reach out to me, you can go beyond calling me at the office. And all my contact information is in the newsletter, but you can also go to wondersroots.org, contact us, and shoot me an email. Or shopwondersroots.com. You can also do it from there. All right, I think that's it. Okay, so sulfur, what is it? It's an important structural atom in most proteins as sulfur amino acids. Cysteine with an I only, cysteine with an E and an I, and methionine, and small organic molecules. Glutathione, okay, there we go. See, I got to say it. I always say I'm the glutathione girl, and I don't think there's ever been a radio program where I did not mention glutathione. A tripeptide containing cysteine, the EI, cysteine, is essential to cellular reactions involving sulfur amino acids in protein. Sulfur is found in a reduced form, GSH, in cysteine, and in an oxidized form, SS, as the double molecule cysteine, without the E. The sulfhydryl group is important for the specific configuration of some structural proteins and for the biological activities of some enzymes, proteins that do work. Sulfur-containing proteins work in indirect ways to maintain life. Okay, to maintain life. Yes, and so critical to health. And I'm going to go into some of those things, but if you're looking at my newsletter, or if you're going to look at it later, I have this, this is a diagram that I draw on a whiteboard. It's not as colorful and pretty as that when I draw it on the whiteboard, but I found an application where I could actually make this chart so that I could share it in something like this, making methyl groups. And so methyl groups are really important in the diet, and they are dependent on sulfur. So sulfur in the diet is converted to, right there, it looks like I have a call. Thank you for calling. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, Becky.
Hi, Joe.
I just want to let you know that you are coming through loud and clear. I don't have anything to add, but if anybody's listening, they're not having a problem.
Okay, and I really appreciate that, Joe. You know I do, because I don't know. You know, I'm all by myself here in the office, and I mean, seriously, I can't hear myself. Like, when I was in the WKBK studio, I have a headset on, so I can hear myself, you know, how I'm coming through and how if a caller comes in like you. So so I really appreciate that. Thank you. I'm still.
Well, I know that. That's why I make the call.
All right.
So
thank you. And
I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
I'll keep listening.
Okay. Thanks for listening, Joe.
All right.
Okay, that was really helpful, and I appreciate that. Okay, all right. We have to be able, in order for our bodies to, our health to be maintained and to click along properly, we have to be able to make methyl groups. Methyl groups attach themselves to every enzymatic process that goes on in our bodies. And when I say bodies, I mean brain. And the reason I say that is I've always been led to, I don't know, my urge has been to say bodies and brain. Well, the brain is the body. So I mean the body and brain. I don't just mean below the neck and the brain. I mean the brain as part of the body. So we have to be able to crank out these methyl groups. Most of us, I would say up to 60% of us, that's what I've read, but in the hundreds of people I've looked at their methylation data, over the years, I think it's much higher than that, have common genetic defects that cause us to have a hard time keeping up with the demand for methyl groups, for making them. We cannot keep up. We have to put the nutrients in there to ensure that we are making methyl groups. Think about making methyl groups like a software program scanning the hard drive on your computer for errors and fragments and cleaning them up. You know, PCmatic.com. That's what creating methyl groups up to speed does for our health. And when we can't do that, the number of health conditions and the variety of health conditions that suffer are pretty much inclusive of everything, from cancer to psychiatric problems to dementia, Alzheimer's to Parkinson's to multiple sclerosis to all kinds of, to IBS, to autism, to ADHD, to insomnia, to thyroid problems. I mean, really everything. Well, how is that possible? Well, that's the way we're created. And we need certain key nutrients in order to function properly. And most of us today in this world do not. Wow. What a load it would take off the medical system, huh? If people just knew what to do and did it. So that's why I'm here. And I love it for myself. I love it for my clients. I love it for all of you out there listening. Just know what to do and do it. We have so much more power than we think we do at our disposal, and we can do it. So making the methyl groups begins with sulfur in the diet. We're going to be talking about what foods are high in sulfur, but I'm going to tell you not to rely on them, definitely to include them, but to make sure you're getting a daily supply of sulfur, I would recommend you use a supplement, MSM powder, such as sulforaphane. We'll talk more about those in a bit. So sulfur in the diet, we start with that. So what do I do in the morning? I take a big heaping teaspoon, like a coffee spoon that you would stir your coffee with, I just dig it into my MSM powder and eat it off the spoon and chase it down with some water. I find that that's easier. Sulfur is not water soluble. And so you try to stir it into water and you just kind of mix it up and swirl it around, but it never really dissolves well. And just chase it down. And don't complain about the flavor. It's, you know, that's the way it is. It's, yeah, that's the way, that's life. But it's not a big deal. From sulfur, now I ingest this, right? And in my body, it's converted to the two amino acids, cysteine with an E, and methionine, C-O-T-H-I-O. Whenever you see C-O in science, it means sulfur. From there, acetylmethionine is created. Some people know that as SAMe. SAMe is purchased and used by many as a natural antidepressant. Because without this process of methylation, you cannot create neurotransmitters properly and you cannot activate them. So SAMe is used by some. For some, with other conflicting, whatever, it isn't a good fit to take as a supplement. I mean, you're making it from sulfur and that's fine. But anyway, I'm not going to get into that today. I'll talk about that more later when I'm more in depth on something like that instead of the nutrient problem. All right, deficiencies. Now, provided that you are getting an active form of folate, not folic acid, people with these genetic problems in what we call the MTHFR gene, standing for methotetrahydrofolate reductase, Folate is a B vitamin. We cannot use folic acid, and folic acid gets in the way. And this is a big problem. Most of your supplements that you purchase out there, you're getting a really good super B complex, right? But you're getting folic acid in there, and you're getting, we'll talk about B12 in a minute, but you're getting B12 and cyanocobalamin, which isn't active. Cyano stands for cyanide. Not that you're going to get poisoned, cyanide poisoning from that B12, but it's not doing you any good. And I'm not saying it doesn't do you any good. I mean, that's what they use in B12 injections. If your doctor orders a B12 injection, if you're getting an injection, you're going to get some activity of that B12, but it's not active like the three other forms of B12, which are methylcobalamin, hydroxycobalamin, and adenosyl cobalamin. Methylcobalamin is the most active, but for some people, especially with these defects, it is too jarring. When I look at your genetic information, I can look at your vitamin D receptor TAQ and compare it with your catecholamine transferase, V158M, and tell what forms are best for you for vitamin B12. But I generally go for the other two if I don't know. So in any case, we have to have that in our system. We have to have folate. We have to have B12 and vitamin B6. And, of course, the other Bs figure in there too. But those are the big ones we think of. And so here we've had our sulfur. We're in a place where we have our nice backdrop of our B vitamins. We're making sure we're getting lithium because we want to make sure if we're taking these vitamins, we're not wasting them and we're getting the benefit. We need that ferry boat transfer from the bloodstream to the tissues in the body to get the benefit of those vitamins. And now homocysteine is created. And homocysteine, high levels of homocysteine can lead to problems in health. And one in particular that is very concerning is that of thrombosis. So clotting, hyperclotting, hypercoagulation, or forming too much fibrin in the blood. And that can cause a lot of problems. So in a person without a certain form of the MTHFR defect, that is broken down by methionine synthase, we go back to the whole circle again. However, to bring homocysteine down, that's where these vitamins come in as well, the folate, the B12, and the B6. And if you're looking at supplements for hyperhomocysteinemia, then those will be in there. And but you're doing this already, right? You've got, for people that I'm working with, and for myself, I have my MSM powder in the morning. Then I have my multivitamin with the right forms of folate, B12, B6, and then the big grand result of this whole process and why this process is so important, even if I might say it is, I guess I wouldn't say it is a single reason, but it is the biggest reason, is that we make this very important tripeptide in our bodies called glutathione. Glutathione, there I go again, the glutathione girl, but glutathione, tripeptide made in all of our cells. Most of us don't make enough of it. We can support making it using this process, this method that I'm telling you about. But then I always, of course, and if you work with me, you know, I insist on getting some acetyl-glutathione in there. Acetyl, because it is the form that is orally absorbed better than IV glutathione and much longer lasting than IV glutathione. And you don't want reduced. Liposomal is okay. Reduced has to be snorted, nebulized, to be effective. So there's a lot of companies making reduced glutathione supplements out there. To take orally, don't, because you're just wasting your money. And don't take L-glutathione. It's just destroyed by stomach acid. I've told you, my listeners are familiar with that. This is sort of a review for many of you. But anyway, so here we've done something really great just in these few steps by making sure we get sulfur, making sure we have the proper B vitamins, the lithium to use them, and then reinforcing glutathione by using a supplement that boosts our glutathione anyway. And this is really one of the big parts of armor, methylation and making methyl groups, cranking out methyl groups when it comes to our health. It is a huge weapon. It's a protection. And I would say in some respects, it's also a sword. And how easy. It's not easy. I mean, it's not hard. And it's not expensive. People will say, glutathione, that's like $80 a bottle. I'm like, are you kidding me? Really? For everything it does? And for most people, that higher dose, 300 milligrams, is a two-month supply. To preserve and prevent, to preserve your health and prevent disease, look at the cost of medical care. Look at the cost of prescription drugs. And I don't care if you have insurance. You know what I'm talking about. And look at your quality of life. Unbelievable. We have the power. We have the power. Knowing that is really, really awesome. So I think I'm pleased with how I spoke about that. Oh, I know. I think I really like this piece. That's not the one. Let me go back. I think I do it down here. With Weston A. Price. I was looking for Dr. Stephanie Seneff. She is really an expert when it comes to sulfur and sulfur deficiency. And she's got a lot to say about it. I'm not going to read through this whole paper. It's highly technical, not that you're not up to that, but we have limited time. And really gets to the point, but I'm going to open hers again on the Weston A. Price website. And there's a link there. Again, in my newsletter, you guys have plenty of, if you want to pursue things and run down the rabbit hole, go for it. So she talks about obesity. She opens up, obesity is quickly becoming the number one health issue confronting America today. She wrote this a while ago, but certainly current with our generation, and has also risen to epidemic proportions worldwide. Its spread is associated with the adoption of a Western-style diet. However, I believe that the widespread consumption of food imports produced by U.S. companies plays a crucial role in the rise in obesity worldwide. Specifically, these fast foods typically include heavily processed derivatives of corn, soybeans, and grains grown on highly efficient mega farms, right, with all of that wonderful stuff, right? Furthermore, I will argue in this essay that one of the core underlying causes of obesity may be sulfur deficiency. So she goes on and talks about a lot of stuff here. She says, one consequence of sulfur's limbo nutritional status is that it is omitted from the long list of supplements that are commonly artificially added to popular foods like cereal, right? So that's the bottom line. We're talking about nutrient deficiencies, and we're talking about how to put them back. And I'm kind of talking about a person with a good diet, who's not eating all this processed stuff. But just imagine people who are, a lot of people are eating that as they're the staples in their diet. So anyway, excellent sources are eggs, onions, garlic, leafy dark green vegetables like kale and broccoli. Meats, nuts, and seafood also contain sulfur. Methionine, an essential amino acid, is found mainly in egg whites and fish. A diet high in grains like bread and cereal is likely to be deficient in sulfur. Increasingly, whole foods such as corn and soybeans are dissembled into component parts with chemical names and then reassembled into heavily processed foods. Sulfur is lost along the way, and so is the awareness that this loss matters. That's why I'm here, to make you aware. Experts have recently become aware that sulfur depletion in the soil creates a serious deficiency for plants, brought about in part by improving efficiency in the U.S. agricultural industry, which has steadily consolidated into highly technologized mega farms. Right. So this is the thing. In the Garden of Eden, sulfur would be abundant. In the early world, after the Garden of Eden, after the fall, sulfur would still have been abundant for a very, very, very long time. Well, it's not now. And that's why, can I just eat a balanced diet? Oh, I wish, but it's important that you do, right? But don't count on it for your optimal ingestion of nutrients. Okay. Okay. She says it's estimated that humans obtain about 10% of their sulfur supply from drinking water. Remarkably, people who drink soft water have an increased risk of heart disease compared to people who drink hard water. Many possible reasons have been suggested for why this might be true, and just about every trace metal has been considered as a possibility. However, Dr. Stephanie Seneff, believe that the real reason may simply be that hard water is more likely to contain sulfur. I remember that. We have, when we were growing up, my family, my parents had a cottage on Highland Lake. It's still there. It's not a cottage any longer, and it's been built into a beautiful home, and Mary, my dad's widow, still lives there. And but when I was a kid, we drink the water from the well, and it smells like rotten eggs. That's sulfur. It tasted like rotten eggs. It was very hard. And Mary has since put in a water softener. But no worries for Mary, because Mary takes MSM, a big heaping 2 teaspoons of MSM powder every morning. So I'm not worried about her. But anyway, doesn't that make sense? It does to me, because I had no idea when I was a kid and just thinking this water is gross, that it was really good for me. Didn't know that. Anyway, she talks about here, she goes down and talks about the importance of vitamin D3 sulfate and cholesterol sulfate and in conjunction with sulfur. And it's a sulfate, is a cholesterol sulfate, is also water, is, okay. Sulfate, sulfur has to be converted to sulfate. And so that's what she's talking about now. But when we take it, unless we have a blockage in that ability to do that, some people do, very rare, but when people do seem to have that problem, like sulfur things don't agree with them, I just make sure they get a milligram of trace mineral molybdenum daily, because that assists the transsulfuration process, is what we call it, taking sulfur and turning it to sulfate. Sulfate you would recognize as Epsom salt. When you soak in a bath of Epsom salt, that's already sulfate, magnesium sulfate. But that's a really good way to get sulfur in. It's just not very long lasting in the body, but it's good. And people do that for pain. They do it for all kinds of things. But anyway, the cholesterol sulfate is water soluble, and it too, unlike cholesterol, does not have to be packaged up inside LDL for delivery to the tissues. I'm just going to skim over that science. But I like her sulfur and glucose metabolism. This is super important. So again, people out there curious about that, open up this article, read that through more carefully with a cup of tea or whatever. And if you really love eating up science like I do, maybe you don't, but you probably do if you're listening to me. Talks about all of this kind of thing, metabolic syndrome, right, which turns to diabetes. And again, blah, blah, blah. She talks about all of that in its fat cells, macrophages and atherosclerosis, which is heart disease, muscle wasting diseases. And she uses Crohn's as an example of something here. Okay, goes through. I'm going to have to really go down. This is a long paper, but I like what she says here at the end. Okay, I am here. Well, I can't find it, but I can tell you what she says. I can paraphrase. It was just a paragraph, but she basically said, we need for all of this to work well, vitamin D sulfate and sulfate, sulfur sulfate. We need cholesterol. And she talks about how in our modern times, our health advice is to lower our cholesterol, right? And to stay out of the sun, to slather ourselves with sunscreen. And we cannot without, and I've said this many times, we cannot without cholesterol make vitamin D, which is not a vitamin at all. It is a hormone in the skin in response to being hit with UV light. So staying out of the sun and lowering our cholesterol is killing us. But guess what? It's killing us through affecting these very important nutrients. And that's how it happens. That's how the whole scarf of health, tapestry of health gets unraveled. So we can do it. We have to go and really reinforce ourselves, reinforce our health with these nutrients that are missing. If we do it, we become, in a sense, more and more invincible. We will die. We're mortal and we will die. But let's live healthy lives as long as we can. And let's have vibrant health and let's pass that health on to our offspring because a healthy, an unhealthy organism cannot pass on health to the next generation. There is, you remember Brud Hodgkins, who might even be listening. He does get my newsletter. So we've talked about sulforaphane. He's a great guy and really funny. I got so many great comments when he's been my guest. He's been a couple of times on my program. We carry their powder at Wondrous Roots Indoor Organic Gardens of Poughkeepsie, where he grows the broccoli sprouts and the radish sprouts and puts them together in a veggie powder that's super high in sulfur, sulforaphane, which is again, it fits into this whole thing I'm talking about. And it's really, really wonderful. But the way his are done that gives him the, gives that this company the edge is the way they don't freeze and they don't heat the way most sulforaphane products are produced. And so they are super vibrant and very, very effective. My clients love this powder. I had one, Barbara, you might be listening, last initial D saying how much you just always order that stuff and I send it to you. And you're not the only one, but you sent me an email recently saying how much you really love that. So very, very, very important. So I have here a YouTube video. You can watch. It's long. It is quite scientific, but again, a lot of you guys are brainiacs and you might just, you know, want to do that while you're, I don't know, out doing something else and just listening to it. So I talk about MSM and I want to go there. This is a great paper. Now, when I'm meeting with clients, they get handouts. They get a lot of information. And these are some among them. So the health benefits of MSM, a powerful sulfur donor by Joseph Mercola. And he says here, sulfur is the third most abundant mineral in your body and plays important roles in many bodily processes, including metabolism and detoxification. Talks about, sulfur bonds are required for proteins to maintain their shape, blah, blah, blah. Sulfur is crucial for healthy liver function and the prevention of liver disease, right? Glutathione is the biggest liver cleanser. A derangement in sulfur amino acid metabolism is found even in mild forms of liver disease. Excellent sources of sulfur include homemade bone broth, organic pastured eggs, grass-fed meats, seafood, cruciferous vegetables, and alliums like onions and garlic. Sulfur can also be obtained through supplementation with MSM and or by taking Epsom salt. MSM is widely used in the treatment of pain, especially pain associated with arthritic conditions. Research has shown it can significantly decrease pain and improve function in patients with osteoarthritis of the knee. So let's talk about that really briefly. Okay, people take collagen supplements, and collagen supplements are good. People take glucosamine and chondroitin supplements. And glucosamine and chondroitin supplements are good. But guess what? They both come from sulfur. So if you take sulfur, MSM powder, you're getting you're converting to glucosamine conjugate, and you're converting to sulfur and out to collagen. And it's much more cost effective, and you're getting all of the other stuff, the methylation stuff. So I really, we carry a great collagen product by Totem Voss, company Totem Voss. They're great, wonderful chews. But my top recommendation, fine, add that to MSM, but my top recommendation is MSM. And I was looking at just kind of new information about MSM this morning. And, you know, you look at this, and I really kind of am irked. I've said this recently. At when you go, I use DuckDuckGo as my search engine, generally speaking. I don't use Google, but DuckDuckGo still. The top hits are always the mainstream. They're Cleveland Clinic or Healthline or WebMD. Even Josh Axe had in there a caution for people taking MSM, saying it can, you know, upset your, you might get you could get diarrhea or blah, 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 blah. So, because you're not used to it and you're detoxifying. So I always have my clients start out slow, start out with an eighth of a teaspoon a day and just go slow, gradually increase over a week or two to a heaping teaspoon or so, and you'll be fine. It's not, and Axe has said something about the microbiome. It's ridiculous because MSM is your source of, sulfur is your source of collagen. So right there, if you have intestinal problems, leaky gut or anything like that, you heal it. If you heal it with sulfur. It's a big, big way to heal it. And then MSM is also antifungal, anti-candida, things like that. So great for the gut. So don't, you know, be careful. If you read that stuff and you hear, you read, be careful this or be careful that. And be careful if you're on blood thinners. No, this is vital to your health. So if it helps thin your blood, then you'll need less blood thinner. How's that? And if you're on just something like Plavix or Eliquis, don't worry about it. If you're on Coumadin, they don't want you to eat anything that's healthy anyway because of the vitamin K. They have to monitor that. And if they find you need less, don't cut out your good food. Use less medication. That's not that hard. They should be able to assist you with that. So don't not do it because of that. Goodness. Gosh, you know, and a lot of people are on, you know, Coumadin just because they have a condition that if they throw a clot there and then they'll have a stroke. They could have a stroke, but right. But then they suffer, all the rest of their health goes suffering all those years. So just don't want to get a stroke, have a stroke. So there are ways to keep your blood thin too. We've talked about that. Serapeptase, nattokinase, lumbokinase, many times fibrinolytic, proteolytic enzymes. So I won't go there today, but yeah. So don't sacrifice your health on the cross of Coumadin. I don't know. That was kind of a weird metaphor or whatever, but picture. But I'm just saying don't give it all up. Don't put your eggs all in. Well, at least I didn't have a stroke. I'm grossly unhealthy, but at least I haven't had a stroke. Okay, so glutathione. This is neither of these, blah, blah. It says neither of these primary sulfur-containing amino acids, we're talking now methionine and cysteine, is stored in your body per se, although glutathione is a key storage form for sulfur. This is great too, because if you're taking your glutathione in the acetylated form, it is sulfur rich in itself. It is what you would consider a sulfur source. So you see how this sort of protocol that I have many of you on, and you're like, wow, why do I have to take all this stuff? Well, they work together, and it's wonderful that we can and that you can and that you can do it. Glutathione also keeps many other antioxidants performing at peak levels. And cysteine availability is thought to be a rate-limiting factor for glutathione synthesis. So it all goes together, talks about the importance of it for obesity, a few, heart disease, chronic fatigue syndrome, Alzheimer's disease, autism, and then required in the creation of connective tissues such as cartilage, tendons, and ligaments. Sulfur is also essential for healthy joints, and deficiency has been linked to joint pain and joint-related diseases. other benefits, as noted in the paper, are sulfur in human nutrition and applications in medicine. Methylsulfonyl methane, MSM, a volatile component in the sulfur cycle, is another source of sulfur found in the human diet. Organic sulfur, as SSAs, sulfur-containing amino acids, can be used to increase synthesis of S-adenylmethionine, SAMe, glutathione, GSH, taurine, and N-acetylcysteine, NAC. MSM may be effective for the treatment of allergy, pain syndromes, athletic injuries, and bladder disorders. So anyway, talks about how that works. Glucose metabolism. Oh, here we go. Proper insulin function. The insulin molecule consists of two amino acid chains connected to each other by sulfur bridges, without which the insulin cannot perform its biological activity. Think about that. Wow. Think about that when you find your A1C is creeping up, your blood sugar, your fasting blood sugar tests are creeping up. Anybody ever ask you, your healthcare provider ask you about sulfur? Your healthcare provider, no, I'm not trying to be insulting, but I don't think knows about that. So insulin needs sulfur bridges. Glucose metabolism. One hypothesis is that if a sufficient amount of sulfur is available, it will act as a decoy to glucose, effectively diverting it to reduce the sulfur rather than glycating and causing damage. Okay, so glucose, glycation is a process of binding sugar to protein. Diabetics have a high level of sugar in their bloodstream, and it is coursing throughout, and it is binding to protein in the body. And this is where we get diabetic neuropathy, binding to nerves, diabetic nephropathy, kidney problems, binding to the small little glomeruli in the kidneys and in the retina, causing diabetic retinopathy. Glycation, picture putting a chicken or a turkey in your oven. The skin gets nice and crisp and sticky and yummy and sweet, but you don't want, that's glycation. You don't want that happening in your body or your brain. Well, the body, the brain is a body. Becky, see, I've been so trained to say it that way, in your body, including the brain. There we go. All right. One hypothesis, yes, okay. Okay. This would have the beneficial effect of reducing chronic inflammation, as sugar, glucose, is highly inflammatory and wreaks havoc in your body. For liver health, definitely, and we talk about that. It says here, the transsulfuration pathway, which I talked about earlier, is connected to the production of glutathione, which has potent antioxidant capacity in the liver. Accumulating data show that glutathione depletion renders the liver vulnerable to oxidative stress and prone to progression of liver disease. Another crucial nutrient for liver health and the prevention of chronic liver disease, including non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, is choline. Detailed in choline. He's got another thing there, which we won't talk about today. And we're getting close to wrapping this up. Sulfur's role in heart disease. And here he does, he has interviewed Dr. Stephanie Seneff in the past, 2011, about the influence of sulfur on health and disease. And so she says in it, Seneff discusses a critical crucial connections between sulfur, cholesterol, and vitamin D. That's what I was talking about earlier. So anyway, he kind of, you know what, instead of reading her really long paper, read this one that's on my newsletter too, because he kind of abridges what she said and makes it a little bit more readable. That's a good idea. And it says sulfur intolerance may be a sign of toxicity. And so, again, I just have people go slow. And then if you have problems with sulfur, some people have what is called, I can't think of what the CBS stands for. It's not the news, the network, but cysteine, blah, 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 blah. Some people have defects in that that gene, which can influence methylation and it can make them intolerant to sulfur. And for those people, I use molybdenum. I talked about that. But I have a defect in one of the CBS polymorphisms, genetic polymorphisms, and I have no problem with sulfur. So I think it's a rare person who does. But again, because it's so detoxifying, this is why I have you go slow, right? So you go, oh my gosh, I took that MSM and I felt horrible. I felt sick. I felt, well, yeah, you won't at an eighth of a teaspoon. You really won't. So you just go slow. And then you'll take it. You won't have any idea you're taking it. You feel great. So anyway, we talk about that. Go back here at Wonder Truths. I have there are some products that we use, that I use myself, and that are containing sulfur. We have the MSM powder. We have glutathione. We have the sulforaphane, the veggie powder. And then we make the MSM eye drops. I have there on my newsletter these handouts that I give to people with the eye drops, and even when they order them their first time online, because there are a lot of ophthalmologists and eye doctors out there right now recommending my MSM eye drops. I always give them all these handouts, the one on the MSM for the eyes. And then it tells you much more about MSM as well. So you can look at those. And we have those products readily available. And then I'm really excited. We just got done and labeled and labels created and through the process and on the shelves, our new summary scent for summary time of our wondrous wicks, our soy candles. Our soy candles are now in summary scents, 20 to 25 hours clean burn. And people are amazed. These candles are small. They're 4 ounces. They just burn and burn and burn. They burn super, super evenly. Cotton wicks, so there's no metal in there. Toxic, toxin-free, completely phthalate-free. And we have strawberry cheesecake, grapefruit and mint. I'm getting hungry. Coconut lime verbena, sexy sandalwood, lemongrass sage, clean cotton, English rose, and energy, which is a stimulating citrus scent. I was on a call on a Zoom Thursday night. Some of you were there talking about methylene blue. And I would love to say much more about methylene blue, and I think I shall. Maybe I'll do a little part of it next time, even though I'm going to be continuing on with missing nutrients. Probably going to go to magnesium next week. Magnesium is critical. Very exciting topic. And as exciting topics go. And so I'll be doing that. But I think I will give a little bit of an update on methylene blue. And when a recording of the Zoom from the other night with Jeff Barris, a compound pharmacist from Pacifica Compounding Pharmacy, hosting that out in Torrance, California. And then another compound pharmacist, Sarah, I can't think of her last name. She was really great giving us information on that. And so if you missed that or you want to hear it again, when I get that link, I will publish it in my newsletter. So I want to thank you for listening. It's been really fun for me. I love this stuff. I eat, breathe, and sleep this stuff. So, you know, it's interesting to me, but a lot of you have told me. Appreciate it. So I just got the clue that we've got 90 seconds, and I guess I will just say goodbye. I hope you'll join me again next week, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend and week. Thanks very much. Take care.